Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Deliciously Louisville with Ashley Eats. I'm Ashley Clark Thompson, and thanks for stopping by. On today's show, I have Annie and Kenna of Annie Mae's Sweet Cafe. Annie Mae's Sweet Cafe is a bakery and cafe that serves allergen-free food. So if you have a gluten intolerance, a peanut allergy, anything like that, Annie Mae's Sweet Cafe is the place to go. Well, welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
If you wouldn't mind just introducing yourselves so we can know match voices with names.
I'm Annie Mae.
I'm Kenna.
And these lovely ladies are with Annie Mae's Sweet Cafe, which is located on Frankfort Avenue.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about the food that you guys serve up, because it's very, very different.
Yes, we have a dedicated gluten, nut, and soy-free facility. So we're the only one in the state right now that has a bakery like this. And then we also make things that are free of the top 8 food allergens as well.
And what are the top 8 food allergens?
Wheat, nuts, well, peanuts and tree nuts. So I think that would be 3 total. Shellfish, sesame, soy, dairy, and eggs.
All right. And how did you two get started?
Well, I started it out of my home, actually, because I have some really bad food allergies. And so when I went to open like a brick and mortar, I was still trying to run it by myself and I needed some help. And then Kenna applied for the job and she worked with me for what, 6 months?
Yeah, I was just finishing up pastry school. Mm-hmm. And I also had a background in biology, and like, so the food science of gluten-free baking really interested me a lot, and I wanted to get some experience. And yeah, we worked there for about 6 months. I took a job for a little while and then I came back. And now we're in full swing, so.
Yeah, and I asked her to be my business partner when she came back, so.
Yep.
Well, congratulations, because we were mentioning before we started recording, you know, you have partnerships, mm-hmm. different businesses in the area. But I guess how did everything get started? You said it started out of your home.
It did. Well, I used to, like, just decorate cakes for friends and bake and things like that. And then when I found out that I couldn't have gluten anymore, I changed all of my recipes to gluten-free. Which took forever. It probably took me 8 or 9 months of baking, like, every night something. The strawberry cake recipe alone was 56 tries. So lots and lots of trial and error. And then someone said, well, why don't you just, you know, sell this stuff? So then I looked into that and rented a place, like, at the Clifton Center, which I think a few other people in town do as well, and did some baking out of there, and it was a delivery service, and then ended up, it was fairly popular, so I thought, let's give it a whirl with a real place.
Which, I mean, but you've always wanted to be a baker your whole
mm-hmm.
life.
My whole life I did, yes. I wanted to own a bakery. I thought the dream was dead when I found out I had food allergies. I was like, oh, well, I guess I won't own a bakery, but I did anyway.
So what is that like to live with a gluten allergy?
It's rough. There's a lot of intestinal pain and stomach aches, headaches. A lot of people get rashes, like, all over their body, eczema, joint pain. It was pretty terrible. I felt like, you know, exhausted every day, even if I'd slept for 12 hours the night before. It was just hard to, like, do daily tasks. And then it just all went away as soon as I stopped eating gluten, especially joint pain. Like, I had no idea. I thought I had arthritis at, like, 25 years old. Terrible arthritis, and I was going to be, you know, crippled soon or whatever. But it all went away. So it's nice that just food can change things.
And, Kenna, your background is in food science. So in the most layman's terms as you can get, I guess what happens to the body when you're allergic to gluten?
Yeah, well, a lot of people have, like, gluten intolerances, and it's just the way their body is digesting it. And then some are actually, they have allergies to wheat, and that the protein that's in wheat. And I guess everyone has completely different reactions. People come in, they just get migraines, or people accidentally get gluten and then they're off their feet for 3 weeks. You know, and they're drinking fluids and trying to flush everything out. It's kind of like a toxin. Your body ends up treating it like a toxin, so you just feel like you get poisoned almost. So just varies in reactions depending on how long you've been eating a gluten-free diet. People are a lot more sensitive after they've been on the diet for a long time. That kind of stuff just depends.
It's like an inflammatory reaction. Mm-hmm. Your body is fighting something. Like if you just got a cold and your body's trying to fight the cold, and then, you know, you're fatigued because your body's fighting a cold. I mean, imagine your body is constantly fighting everything that you put in your mouth.
Now, Annie, you mentioned you always wanted to be a baker. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, I went to school as a biology major originally. And then I guess where our worlds really collide, one of my friends, and actually happened to be Annie's brother, he passed away in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And that, we didn't even know each other at that point.
Right.
But it was kind of after that, that I think Annie really reevaluated what she wanted to do. And she was like, I'm going to do this baking thing. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side of the world, I was thinking to myself, well, I'm going to school right now. Do I want to do this, or what do I want to do for real? Like, you know, life is short. And I wanted to get hands-on with something. And I ended up taking a tour over at Sullivan here in Louisville. And their program was all about baking science, and it was all about measuring and milliliters. And it just kind of spoke to the food science part of me. And it was really exciting. And I got to work with my hands every day. So that's kind of how I got into it.
All right. Now, you talked about having to do a lot of trial and error for recipes. What are some basic, I guess, guidelines, or where do you start when you're trying to bake allergen-free food? I mean, because full disclosure, I would have no idea where to start.
Well,
my cabinet has, there's flour there, you know, or just like, what am I supposed to do now?
And that's, a lot of people are just at a total loss. So they buy like prepackaged food at first and they don't know anything. And that's, I mean, it's completely different and crazy. Wheat flour is what most bakeries use, or all purpose flour, you know, made from wheat, has a certain like protein percentage. So what you have to do is you have to combine alternative flours together to sort of get the same like amount of protein. Mm-hmm. A lot of people try to use just like rice, you know, brown rice or rice flour or white rice. There's all kinds of different rice flours. We use a sorghum flour, tapioca starch. Some people use corn starch, potato starch, arrowroot. I mean, if you really start looking, there are lots of alternative grains to work with. Since we're nut-free, a lot of gluten-free bakeries use almond flour or coconut flour, because they do have higher protein, and you don't have to really mix them with other flours. Mm-hmm. Like
they already taste good.
They do already taste good, but we're nut-free, so we can't use those at all. So it took me a while to like refine the blend that we use, I guess, and that's really where you have to start. It has to be a good flour base, or your product isn't going to turn out that well. So that's why a lot of people just buy mixes that are already on the shelf and make. It's really difficult to make something as a home baker, because you have to buy, you know, seven or eight different types of flour and then mix them together. And that gets really expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, each tiny bag of flour is like $8 to $12. And you're talking about mixing, you know, seven or eight of these together to get one blend. So it's just a lot easier for them to come to us.
Yeah.
What about, I guess, substitutes for, you know, milk? I'm used to recipes. I'm thinking just classic recipes, milk and eggs and butter.
Right.
I guess, how did you find alternatives for those?
Well, I guess any alternative milk can be used for milk.
So like a soy or an almond milk.
Soy or rice, or almond.
Well, mm-hmm. You're nut free, so not almond milk.
And we're soy free. So mm-hmm. We actually just use a rice milk in everything. And we don't even have, like, real milk in the bakery.
Yeah.
Except in those little cartons that they can buy, like,
for creamer or for, yeah.
And then the egg substitute is probably the trickiest, because butter can be substituted with, like, I mean,
canola oil or, you know, just any kind of oil.
So we use a palm fruit oil or canola or olive oil. Those are the three fats that we primarily use. We do make things with butter because we're not a completely dairy and egg-free facility. But
and it is the South.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
They do love their butter. They do. Egg substitute is tricky.
Yeah.
It's very tricky, and it depends
on
the
recipe. It's almost a secret you can't divulge.
You could Google it, I guess, and figure it out.
They do make pre-made egg replacer, and like it comes in a box. You can buy it at your local grocery.
But that doesn't work with everything.
No.
So sometimes there's a flax meal, sometimes it's applesauce, sometimes it's baking soda and vinegar.
Yeah.
And you have to get the ratios right, or it's going to turn out terrible.
Now, why did you decide to go, I mean, not just gluten-free, but allergen-free? That seems to be, you know, taking it up a notch.
That was, I think, a smart business move on my part. I thought about opening a gluten-free bakery, but, I mean, I thought it was sort of a little bit restrictive just because there are less people that are just gluten-free than are just, like, say, nut-free or, you know, vegans or something like that. And it's a lot more difficult to keep the cross-contamination down for nuts and soy. So I just cut those out immediately. Because it's very easy to, like, separate butter from, you know, and eggs from things. But soy is in everything, first of all. So it's hard to get the products that we need sometimes. Like peanuts and tree nuts, those oils, just you can't scrub it off a pan and hope that someone doesn't get sick or have a reaction. So that's really where the peanut and tree nut came in. And I really think that we would not have made it if it was just a gluten-free bakery, because we have customers who are just peanut-free, just tree nut-free, and it's like a safe haven for them too. Because, you know, in this town, especially because we're in the South, there are a lot less gluten-free bakeries in the South than there are on the East Coast or West Coast, or Colorado, I think, has, like, the most. They're super healthy out there. But, you know, so I really needed to, like, sort of expand the base and get a lot more people in there. And it's good. Soy-free people, nut-free that aren't even gluten-free, that's still, you know, just like the product.
Mm-hmm. Well, what has been the reaction from folks here in Louisville to having an allergen-free bakery in town?
It's been pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think they like it.
Well, it's really nice. A lot for parents, too. They get a break from having to watch what their little ones are eating, and they get to either bring home one of our pink boxes full of goodies for their kid that can't have peanuts, you know, but,
right.
Oh, they get to come and they can pick anything in the case. And that's, you know, their eyes light up. And also, if you bring treats to schools, there are a lot of schools that have nut restrictions. And it's really nice for them to have a place that they can come to and get a dozen cupcakes for the class and, you know, not have to worry about one kid feeling discluded. So that's been really nice to see.
Yeah.
And you also had a Halloween party.
Yes, we have a Halloween party every
Tell
year.
Me a little bit about that. I saw an event on Facebook, and I just thought, this is so neat for kids with food allergies.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. It has turned into my favorite thing, really. We do, like, face painting for the little kids, and we try to dress in costume, too, you know. So, and we stay open later, and we fry up allergen-free food, like funnel cakes that are everything-free. And we pass out, there's only really, like, a handful of candy that kids who are gluten-free, nut-free, soy-free, all those things can eat. So we try to pass out, like, you know, like Starburst is allergen-free.
Oh. Noted. Okay.
At least I hope it still is. I'll check it again before we have our Halloween party.
As of last year, it was.
Right, and yeah. Skittles. We handed out Skittles and stuff like that. And we do make our own candy as well.
Yeah.
So they come in and buy little treats. We make little monster cupcakes and stuff, you know. And we don't do it on Halloween because we don't want to mess with their real Halloween. But there are a lot of parents who are terrified to take their kids trick-or-treating because of their nut allergy and what they're going to get. And they can't, you know, they're so young, they're going to reach in their bag and try to eat it. So they enjoy it as well.
Are you finding that a lot of your customers are parents and families with kids with allergies?
I would say it's about half and half. I mean, we have a lot of adults as well that just have a ton of food allergies.
Yeah, a lot of the adults seem to be adhering to like a gluten-free diet or something like that. And then for kids, you know, maybe their kid has ADHD or
autism
there. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying out a new gluten-free diet. And then a lot of kids just have the nut and egg allergies too. That's really, that seems to be a lot of kids.
Is it more common food allergies or just maybe people are more aware of it now?
Well, when I was doing like research and opening a business in, let's see, I want to say 2009 is when I got like the idea. About 6% of the general population had some form of a food allergy. And like it was released last year that now it's at 13%. So I don't know if people are just like, I don't feel good, I'm going to the doctor, and they test them more or what. I mean, I don't know if it's GMOs in food. I'm not the person who's doing the research on that. There's lots of theories out there, but I'm glad that it's doubled because that's helping me out a lot.
Well, and people feel better, too.
They do feel better.
They're more
and
aware.
And it's nice to have a place to go. I mean, when I try to go out to eat in town, it's, you know, it's terrifying. It's very terrifying because I have multiple food allergies, like a lot of the people that come into the bakery. And so, and some of the people that come into the bakery are allergic to everything in our bakery, like rice. Well, there's rice in everything because we mill our own flour and, you know, there's brown rice has touched everything in this bakery. So we have to be careful, you know, because we're producing this of what we tell people. Like, I don't want to make anyone sick ever. So I'm as honest as possible as to what is in here or what may have touched this, you know, and it's terrifying. And I know how they feel. And Kenna has food allergies as well, so she knows how they feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are you ladies allergic to?
Oh, let's see. Mine is a long list. Gluten, corn, eggs, parsley, shellfish, and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what about you, Kenna?
Well, I have a long list of allergies. It's mostly like chicken and onions and black pepper and peppers.
Wait a minute, chicken?
And,
right.
Yeah. And,
upset.
And yeah, but I'm not so great about not eating those because it's like the Midwestern diet I grew up on. The only thing I'm really intense about is dairy. So I stay away from as much dairy as possible. So
now where are some places in town that you guys have found are almost like safe havens for folks with food allergies?
Well, I mean, obviously we eat at the grind truck when we can because we know that they take precaution, you know, for people. I've been okay at the Silver Dollar. I hate to say like chain restaurants, but chain restaurants have their gluten-free menus in place, you know. And they're not always the greatest, most delicious meal that I've had in town, but I know that it's going to be safe. Bonefish Grill or Outback, they have really, you know, they have their whole process down. So that it's kind of nice to just go somewhere and not have to think about, you know, what I'm eating locally.
I usually just go to a place that cares. Right. So, because if you tell them, hey, can you make sure there's no butter on that bun or can you make sure there's no milk in that, you know, then they'll be honest with me, you know, like Harvest, I'll go to brunch at Harvest and ask about a million questions and they just care. So they're really happy to answer. And I feel good after eating there. So places like that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you talked at the beginning about some of your failures of trying recipes over and over again. Mm-hmm. I guess what was your most notable failure in the kitchen?
Flop.
Yeah.
The first 5 to 10 attempts at a strawberry cupcake came out like gummy and weird, like rubbery. It was really, really gross. And I remember I would take them to people and go, does this taste like rubber? No one wants to taste it. And I know in my brain and I'm pulling it apart that it looks and tastes like rubber, but I'm forcing people to eat it anyway. So what do you think it needs? Does it taste like rubber? Because we have to add xanthan gum to everything, which it mimics the gluten in a recipe. If you add too little, it's going to be crumbly and fall apart because there's not enough binder there. And if you add too much, like a hair too much, like a pinch too much, it's going to be rubbery and weird. So there was a lot of trial and error with xanthan gum things.
Would have been a, we've had some bakery fluffs too.
Yeah, I mean, I make hockey pucks on a regular basis. Sometimes if I'm not paying attention enough, it's like, oh, I got to turn that into crust.
Right.
Well, I'm still trying. I mean, I try every other month a couple times on trying to make a gluten-free croissant that like looks and tastes like mm-hmm. an actual croissant, because pastry school, I mean, we spent 2 weeks on laminated dough. So I'm like, you know, oh, I got this. Turns out it's really difficult.
Oh, I know. Yes.
So I'm still in the process of that. But so far, it has been a glorious flop.
It has. So. It has. But every time we still eat it because we're like, it's so buttery.
It's because there's just a lot of butter in it, and I cheat and I eat it. Or it just explodes in the oven. There's mm-hmm. butter dripping everywhere.
And we have to eat it because it smells so good, even though it's terrible and not a croissant.
Yeah.
All right, what about some glorious successes?
Oh, man. The chocolate chip cookie is a mm-hmm. mistake that turned into... It was a typo. It was a typo. It was. I had the recipe, I guess, I don't even know. This is so long ago. I feel like the bakery's ancient at this point. I had the recipe typed up or written out. I don't even know. And when I went to double it to you know, for bakery, because this was all like... These were like home baker recipes. You know, I didn't need to make 38 cookies. I needed to make like, you know, 10 to 12. So when I went to like double everything or triple everything, there was a typo on the chocolate chip cookies. And that's the recipe that is now our like perfect recipe. Like that typo made the cookie perfect. So it was kind of awesome. The first time, you know, I was doing it, I was looking at the egg replacer and I was like, this is really a lot of egg replacer. Like, did I really put that much in there? Because it's an insane amount of egg replacer. And it turned out like this fluffy, delicious, kind of like sweet and salty cookie. So good.
Yeah.
So that was a success.
We've made a lot of different kinds of cheesecake too. Yes. I don't know why, but I just gravitated towards trying different things with cheesecake. Mm-hmm. A browned butter cheesecake. It's really good.
Oh my gosh.
There's
a
red velvet cheesecake that I came up with that's on like a weekly schedule. People look mm-hmm. for it. That's been really fun.
Yeah, her cheesecakes are delicious.
Thank you.
They are. Better than her croissant.
That's true. At this point, they're light years ahead.
Full disclosure, I have a cheesecake tattoo. So
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You need to eat some. Oh, I brought you some
cheesecake. I know. I got snacks in here, guys, but I'll wait until after to finish eating because I tried an oatmeal cookie, and that's not going to make it home. I don't, like, if I had my own refrigerator at work, I'm thinking of ways essentially to sneak it around my husband. Let's just. Full disclosure.
Well, I think everything in there is almost vegan except for the cheesecake, so yeah. They can stay at room temp for a while.
There you go.
Well, I lived in D.C. for a summer. I was an intern, and they mm-hmm. had a vegan bakery there, and I am not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best bakery goods mm-hmm. I've ever had, cinnamon rolls and cookies, and it was just I couldn't understand. I was like, how is this good? I'm used to some dairy product being in here. I guess – Why, I guess, how do I say this? Why is it so good?
I think it's just so good because we start everything from scratch. I mean, we buy brown rice and we mill it into a flour. So we mill our own flour, then we put those flours together in our own, like, blend. Then, you know, it's like a home baker that produces a lot of stuff mm-hmm. and a lot of, I mean, we can't order all of our weekly supplies from Sysco or anything like that and have it delivered. I mean, I drive all over town every week to get this random, you know, amount of ingredients that are very, very specific, even specific to brand names, because we know that that's nut-free or soy-free or whatever. And that's why it's kind of good, because it's all very...
It's TLC.
Fresh, yeah. It's love. It makes it delicious.
I joked with Annie that we need to put that at the end of our ingredient list on all love. Of our products. And love.
Just a pinch at the end.
Love. High standards and love.
We do have very high standards. Yeah. And we don't.
Yeah,
let...
I think it scared away a lot of interns just because of the standards that we have.
Yeah, right. That's not going out. We have to turn it into crust. We turn everything into crust. We just dry it out and process it up, and then it becomes cheesecake crust or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't waste.
That's good to know. It's really good to know.
Absolutely.
Well, what's a typical day like for you two?
Pretty long, I would say. We don't have like a ton of people who work at the bakery. You know, we try to run a lot of it on our own, except for the weekends when we're super busy.
I'm a control freak, so yes. I pretty much, the kitchen is mine. And
you have to get out of there. She's got like a system going and you can't get near it.
Production list. Mm-hmm. I'm in there really early pretty much every morning, and I'm filling orders and that kind of stuff for wholesale clients. Cakes for the Science Center downtown for their birthday parties.
Yeah, we do all
and then help filling up the case for the day. Annie comes in a little bit later, and then she starts getting on stuff for soup and quinoa salad and
a
lot
like
of savory.
The cook.
She's the savory princess.
I am.
She does wonders. She makes every soup vegan, and I don't know how she does it. It's that same thing. You eat cream of broccoli soup with no dairy in it, and you're like, what?
It doesn't make sense. Well, there's definitely a difference between cooking and baking.
There is.
Mm-hmm. What tips do you have for cooking and for baking, just for the average person at home? Because I'm more of a cook than a baker.
I would say if you want to bake and you're not a baker, you got to use a recipe and you have to follow it exactly. You have to, like, if it says 1 teaspoon, you need to level off that teaspoon. I mean, at this point, we're sort of like, yeah, that's about a teaspoon, you know, because we can do it. We can eyeball and things like that. But baking is totally different than cooking. I don't ever use a recipe when I'm cooking anything. I just throw stuff in and you taste as you go. Baking, you precisely put these, you know, amounts in there and you put it in the oven and you cross your fingers that all science does the work.
Yeah, pretty much.
So definitely follow a recipe when you're baking. When you're cooking, though, just wing it. What sounds delicious? Put it in there. That's what I usually do.
Use whole foods.
Yeah.
Because then it's
for sure.
it's gonna be gluten free, you know, if it's don't use mixes and packets of any flavoring packets are scary.
Right.
So keep your own.
And I used to like buy stock and stuff, and I'm like, why am I buying stock? I know how to make stock. What am I spending my money on this for? So because there's a lot of stock that is not gluten free. I don't know what they're putting in there. Chicken stock or vegetable stock or whatever, but you have to buy this a very like organic, you know, $9 stock. And I'm like, I can make this without spending all that money. So for gluten-free people, I mean, you have to make your own food. You can't run to Taco Bell and get something. You just can't. Which is also a drawback. I miss like, let me just order Papa John's. No.
Well, that's why we have Fry Food Friday.
That's right.
So you can indulge and have fried things.
That's a delicious day. Yeah.
What are some of the foods that are on Fried Food Friday?
Oh, chicken tenders.
Those are really good. And we made fried mac and cheese balls once.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were dairy-free, so I could have them.
Yes.
Okay.
We're crazy.
Okay, stop. We're just stopping right now. How do you make dairy-free macaroni and cheese?
It's magic. No, that's what I tell the customers because they really want to know recipes. And I'm like, oh, it's magic. No, there's a cheese called Daya that it's a vegan cheese. It also happens to be gluten-free, soy-free, nut-free, all of those things. It's allergen-free. It's like a miracle, you know. And we use a lot of that. We use that at the bakery on our pizzas because they have mozzarella shreds or they have cheddar. They just came out with like slices that you can put on that looks like real cheese. But yeah,
you have to make a dairy-free bechamel.
I use the brown rice and olive oil,
and then you add rice milk.
My eyes are lighting up. I'm like, what?
You add spices, right. And you add some the day of cheddar.
Right, our bechamel is not butter and like milk and heavy cream.
No, but rice milk has been really good for all of our savory products and soups and bechamels.
Yes. And I tease, like, every time. I'm like, I'm making a vegan roux right now, you know. And who does that? Because it's weird. But it makes the cream of broccoli soup delicious. Without cream.
So do you get a lot of folks like me who aren't allergy, have food allergies, who just come in because it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do. It's about half and half, though. The people who come in who don't know that it's gluten and nut-free and just, like, walk off the street thinking they're going to get a cupcake, they look at the case and they're like, what's AF mean? And I'm like, oh, that's allergen-free. That cupcake is free of the top 8 food allergens. And then they give me a weird look and they're like, okay, thanks. And sometimes they leave. But then there are people who are like, I'll try that, you know. So,
and they are pleasantly surprised.
They are, because it is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in, you know, typical household. We didn't know about food allergies. And then maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, my mother found out she's allergic to tons mm-hmm. of stuff.
Wow.
And so I told her about this interview. She's like, it is so hard for people with food allergies.
It is.
And it is.
Yes.
It is.
And it's awful to be terrified of food. It is an awful, awful feeling. And I don't think people understand that if they don't have food allergies. Like, this food could kill me. And not everyone. I mean, gluten, if I get gluten, I'm not going to die. If she eats dairy, she's not going to die. But there are, like, some unpleasant consequences. But then if I eat parsley, that could equal death. If someone has a peanut allergy and they get even slightly cross-contaminated in some way, death. Possibly. I mean, not every time, but there's always like, this food could kill me. And nobody wants to think about that. That's horrible. So we like to think that we provide a safe haven where you don't have to think, this food's going to kill me today. You know, if I went out to lunch, you know, just at a random place that I was invited by friends or something, usually they say, you pick the place because you have all the food allergies. But if I didn't, I mean, I would probably be a lot more terrified than I am if I picked the place. And I would be like, what are they doing back in the kitchen? You know, is some worker who's not paying attention going to throw parsley on my plate and then try to scrape it off? And, you know, all those things go through your head. And it's not good. So your mom is right. It's not fun for people with food allergies.
And I'm thinking about parsley. I see it just thrown on, you know. And I'm not allergic to it, so I don't think about it.
Right.
But.
And it's not even common in any way to be allergic to parsley. It, like, makes me a total weirdo. But the last time that I went out to eat, I was, like, very super stressing. No parsley on it, please. Like, don't throw it on at the end. Don't try to throw it on and then scrape it off. I'm like, there's an EpiPen in my purse. This is what I told the waiter. And I'm like, and you might have to put that in my leg if you serve me parsley. And he was like, got it. But you almost have to be like, I will die. Or, you know, because only for that one. That's my terrifying one. The rest of them, I'm like, you know what? If it, you know, somebody was lazy back there, I'll get a little bit sick. But I don't want to die.
That's very understandable.
Right.
Well, what's up next for Annie Mays? What are your plans? Any new dishes or new, you know, there's Fried Food Friday, any new days like that?
We're already planning for our Halloween party, which is only 2 months away.
Ooh.
Is it?
Yeah, it's almost September.
Yeah. Yes,
well, we're coming out with
away.
Our fall menu, which is going to
yes.
be good. We're going to branch out and have a little bit more going on there, some lunch specials and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff.
Yeah, because we have a new bread that's like a little hoagie roll, which we hadn't had before. So we're going to do some stuff.
Delicious. Pulled pork.
Yes.
We're throwing a lot of ideas around. Pretty much we just go, ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then we figure out how to make it work.
Uh-huh.
That's
then
how
we put it on
roll.
The menu.
Yeah, we do like a vegan lasagna too. Everything free.
Butternut squash soup.
Yes,
that's great in the fall time. Anything with apples, of course. Apple
yes.
pie, apple cupcakes we make. They're so good.
Oh, and for Thanksgiving we do like stuffing. That's free of everything, which stuffing is probably my favorite food in the whole world. And it was devastating when I was like, I can't eat Thanksgiving stuffing. But I figured out how to make it pretty awesome. So stuffing, I'm looking forward to that again. Just to make that in giant vats.
Uh-huh. That's her only job sometimes.
For Thanksgiving,
just
I make
stuffing. Mm-hmm.
And Kenna does bread for days.
I make pies.
Last
year we had like 20 pies just stacked all around the bakery.
Oh yes, because we make regular pumpkin pies and we make egg-free, dairy-free pumpkin pies, which are completely crazy. But we do stuff like that for the people.
So do you do personal orders? Like, let's say there's mm-hmm. an there's a family with allergies, mm-hmm. and but they want kind of a traditional, quote unquote, Thanksgiving dinner. Can they come to you guys?
Yeah, we don't do the turkey, absolutely. But we do the bread, the stuffing,
any
the
kind of pie they want. Yeah. And some people will even say, hey, like around Christmas time, this is my favorite cookie. Do you guys have something like it? You know, and so we're like, oh, ginger snaps. Okay, let's make ginger snaps, right. You know. Or some people will come in, they'll go, oh, and I also have, you know, a corn allergy or something that goes a little bit further mm-hmm. Than what we already offer. And we have to kind of special make them something just because that's what we do. We just want to, we give people safe, right. Happy memories.
And we want them to be able to fit in.
Yeah.
Here, take this to your Thanksgiving and give it to everyone.
Yeah.
You can eat it too. You know, it's just nice.
Great. So how can people find you guys online and actually in person?
We have a website, AnnieMaysSweetCafe.com. And that website has all our info. It has every menu that we have, dessert menu,
contact menu, information.
Our breakfast menu. Yeah.
For Saturdays. Yeah. We also have a Facebook page. Like us on Facebook.
That's right. And we're on Twitter. Or the Twitter, as I like to call
it. Yeah. And we keep it updated every day of new stuff we have in the case and specials that we're running, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We're in the shop every day, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you come in the shop, you're going to see us. You're not going to see somebody else who doesn't work there. So don't insult us when you come in.
And what's the physical address?
It's at 3110 Frankfort Avenue.
Just trying to make sure we get
all
the information out there.
Yeah, we're between Cannons Lane and the Water Reservoir. On that end of Frankfurt.
All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in for an interview. But before you leave, there's the lightning round.
All right.
Now, it's all in good fun. And let's just say the disclaimer, if you leave anybody out of some of your favorites around town, no one's going to get offended.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you, and we'll go, let's say you each answer the same question.
Okay.
And I'm just want you to respond with the first place that comes to your mind of some of your favorites in town. And we'll say other than you guys, of course, since you do food and baked goods.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't say yourself.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Favorite place to get breakfast?
Ooh. Eat breakfast anywhere in town.
Super Chefs. And I have to cheat and eat dairy, but it's worth it.
if I had no food allergies, I would probably go to North End.
The Highlands location or the...
Frankfort.
Mm-hmm. All right. Favorite place to have a drink of alcoholic preference? If you don't drink, of non-alcoholic preference? I don't discriminate.
Silver Dollar.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. Delicious.
All right. Favorite place to go for a fancy dinner?
Asahi Japanese sushi on Lexington Road. Give me a discount.
Right. They're so good. The last place that I went for, I don't even go to fancy dinner, but you know, I think it was like Ruth's Chris, and they had some chicken that had like cheesy something in it or butter. I can't get that out of my brain. And I know that's a chain, but. It was also delicious.
All right, favorite hole in the wall. And I say that as a loving term because I love hole in the walls. Greasy Spoons.
The tap room on Bardstown Road. Best. No food, but it's the best hole in the wall bar.
God, I can't even think of. This just proves that I work all the time.
I work too, but I just get out.
I'm afraid to go out because I'll get sick. I have no favorite hole in the wall. I can't even think of one. Where would I go?
Not like ice cream or something.
I can't eat ice cream.
What about gelato or sorbet?
I can have some sorbet. Yeah.
Graters.
Favorite place to get sorbet?
Ooh. There used to be a gelato place on Frankfort Ave. What's that called? I used to get it there.
I don't know. This is not lightning anymore.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm like ruining lightning round.
This has turned into thunder round.
Anywhere that has gelato, gelato is delicious.
All right. Well, Kenna, I know you're dairy free, but you cheat sometimes.
I do.
Favorite ice cream place?
The Graters. The raspberry chip is so good. I will say I've been to the Comfy Cow too down the road. It's so good. They have like a moose tracks, but I think they call it like cow tracks or something. It's really good too.
Ooh, they had a good strawberry milkshake from what I remember.
When I could eat ice cream.
Well, let's go to a happier subject. Okay, we're going to go back to Annie Mae's Sweet Cafe. What is your favorite thing to eat there?
At the cafe?
Uh-huh.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm.
That was easy.
Two of them do not make it to the case every day.
Right, we're addicted.
We can't. Or three, or four.
All right, well, ladies, thank you so much for coming in for an interview for this podcast.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Thank you to Annie and Kenna from Annie Mae Sweet Cafe for stopping by the Metro Business Center Louisville.am studio today. Thank you for listening to Deliciously Louisville with Ashley Eats. I'm Ashley Clark Thompson, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. My username is Ashley Eats. Thank you so much for listening today. Happy eating.